outline of our presentation will be simple. We'll start out talking about our experience. That's all we have expertise in, I guess, so we have done a lot of reading. Part of that experience will be, most of it really, will be the preparation, the things we did in the 9 months before Kai arrived, though we'll tell you what the birth was like, too. Then we'll make some suggestions for you to chalk away in the back of your head for that time when you may be thinking about these same things. We'll have plenty of time, I think, for discussion and questions.
So, first of all, to our experience. I entered pregnancy, and I guess Maury entered it also, with some fears. And one of the greatest for me was the fear of being victimized by a hospital. I had never been in a hospital except for when I was born. And I had heard, on the other hand, a lot of stories, mostly horror stories, from other women about their birth, and had read several, some books about hospital birth. And what I was afraid of was being made victim by hospital routine, that things would be done in a procedural way in a hospital for a birth, like routine episiotomies, which is the cutting of the vaginal opening to widen it so that the baby's head can come out. Most women can deliver without a cut, but in this country, 80% of women who deliver babies have episiotomies, whereas in European countries like the Netherlands, where there are midwives practicing and they don't do things routinely, only 10 to 20% of women receive those episiotomies. So when you read statistics like that, I was afraid of being victimized by routine things like that in the hospital. Also, it's routine in some hospitals to take the baby away from the mother. In some hospitals, it's difficult for fathers to be present. In some hospitals, it's routine that you go to the delivery room, have your feet put up in stirrups. And we didn't want any of those routines. We wanted those things available if they became medically necessary. If they weren't, we didn't want to have anything to do with them. So, but one of my fears was that I would have no choice about that. And that was a really big fear for me when I found that I was first pregnant. And, what am I going to do about this?
So, with that kind of thinking in mind, we started looking around to see what the options were in our community, which was St. Paul and Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we started out just by talking to friends, talked to everybody we knew who had had a baby and asked them where they'd had it, what the experience was like, and who the doctor was. Called up people on the phone, called up different clinics and hospitals on the phone to ask what their procedures were. We didn't have a family doctor that we'd been working with. Neither one of us had been sick much, and we'd been moving around a little bit. So we didn't have any automatic general practitioner to think of, though there was a local GP who was a woman, and Christine was, well, we were both inclined to have a woman doctor deliver the baby. It seemed that somebody with immediate experience of childbirth might have some special sensitivities and understanding, and we like to support women in professions. So that was one thing we were thinking about, and there was a general practitioner nearby. So we talked to people about her. Well, we heard different kinds of stories. We considered obstetricians, specialists in delivery. We didn't hear of any women obstetricians, I don't think. But we talked about several. We heard great reports about some people in different places and asked what their procedures were. A third option in our community was a nurse midwife who is a person trained first of all as a nurse and then given 2 years of specialized training in midwifery. In Minneapolis and St. Paul, there are programs in hospitals where midwives work in the hospital, deliver children in the hospital. So we looked at that program. And another option was having a lay midwife woman who may not have any specialized training, might have some, but who has learned, possibly by a kind of apprenticeship too, how to work with women, deliver children, and usually deliver children at home. There were reasons, because of some of these fears about hospital procedure, we were thinking quite seriously about a home birth, but we had the sorts of anxiety about not knowing what it would be like, you know, having no experience, wondering what if something major goes wrong, and that's what, of course, a parent said to us, and lots of people said to us, you want to have that hospital machinery around just in case. So we gave serious consideration to a lay midwife. There are real problems in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota in getting home births. There are lay midwives enough, but the medical profession will not officially back them up with doctors. That is, there is no doctor who will say, if you have your delivery by a midwife, but there are complications and you have to come to the hospital, I will be your doctor. Apparently, the doctors have blacklisted any doctors who have voluntarily done that, because there's a kind of economic competition and a little bit of theoretical or philosophical competition between midwifery and obstetricians. So I think that's going on in many places, but the laws in different states may be different, and the relationships between midwives and doctors may be different. We chose the nurse midwife program at Hennepin County Medical Center in Minneapolis because of the combination of having a midwife and having the specialized hospital care right down that corridor if anything should go wrong. And in that program, we would check into the hospital and go to a room in the hospital that looks a lot like a motel room. It has a double bed with a wood frame on it, and nice view, posters hanging on the walls, private bath. And the clincher for us was that if we used this program, Kai could stay in the room the whole time unless there were some special problems, and I could stay there, including overnight, so that we could be together as a family through the whole 3 days, as it turned out, and that was very appealing to us. So those were the options in our community. I think there might be different kind of options in different places. I know there's some midwife programs that have their own birthing clinics or houses that are set up with certain amount of special equipment to which people will come and give birth, the whole family can be there, and often go home within a few hours. And of course there's better backup for midwives in some states so that you don't have to worry about not knowing who your doctor will be if there are complications.
There are other criteria that we use to make our decision too, and I'd like to share that list with you. One of my good friends had a baby 3 years before I did, and she shared her list with me, and that's the list that we used and expanded on. Lists were very helpful at this time for us. So I'll share some of the things that the criteria we used to make our decision finally. As Maury said, we wanted to use a woman if possible, and we wanted both of us to be involved as partners with the health team. We wanted to be able to be working with a health caregiver who would respect our questions, our observations, and encourage us to contribute to this too, rather than the health caregiver being the expert and we being the people who don't know anything. Because I think we really know our bodies and what's going on in us too, and I appreciate it when health caregivers want to know that and share that with their patients. We wanted to find a place where we could have the least amount of hospital and medical intervention possible. We wanted to have that available if it became medically necessary, but as I said earlier, we wanted little or no interference if possible, and a place that would support that. We also wanted a place that would help us, that would stress that the birth process is as important for the man and woman and child participating in it as is getting a healthy product, in quotation marks, out of the birth. We talked with this pediatrician one time in our childbirth class, and he made me feel like an incubator. He came in, and here are all these people who were working with the Midwest program, and his first statement was, I know that what we all want out of this is a healthy product. So whatever happens to get that healthy product doesn't really matter. but we know you just want a healthy baby. And the midwives, on the other hand, stress certainly, they want you all to have a healthy baby, but they also recognize the importance of the process that you go through in getting that healthy baby. And so that was something that was very important for us, that the process was considered important. We also went to a talk one night that was very interesting by a woman named Suzanne Arms, who's the one who wrote this book, Immaculate Deception, that I have listed up here, which I think is such a marvelous title. She was one of the pioneers in birth centers and supporting lay midwives. She's a feisty, articulate, fascinating woman. And one of the things that she said at her talk struck us. She said that she had found that most couples regard their first birth as sort of a trial run. You know, you go with what you've got and see how it works out. And then she said that in her experience, couples get pickier with their second or third children. And she said she encouraged everyone at this talk to take the first birth seriously and to get in the first birth what you wanted. So that struck us, because there were some ways that we were saying, well, we'll compromise on this. It's just our first. And when Suzanne Arms said that, try to get all you can with the first birth. That made Maury and me feel that we were going to work hard to try to get as much as we could out of this first birth.
After all, you never know if you'll have any more.
Yeah, that's right. You know. And last experience that provided a criteria for us was what's called a SAR experience. It's a wonderful week that is an introduction to sexuality and counseling about sexual issues in the ministry that is presented by the University of Minnesota. There might be similar programs in other states. But Maury and I attended that last year. And one of the striking things for me in that week was one morning they showed us a scene of a couple making love, and the woman was about 8.5 months pregnant. And then they flipped after that film to the scene in the hospital where she was delivering her baby. And it was like day and night. The scene at home was in their bedroom, and it was light, and there were plants and classical music playing, and it was loving and just a wonderful scene. And then we flipped to the hospital. It looked cold. There was chrome, bright lights. They were all wearing medical white. Doctors were wearing masks. It was there was no connection between those two scenes. And what Maury and I decided after seeing those two films, we decided that what we wanted was an experience that would connect the lovemaking that had made Kai with the laboring that would birth him as much as possible. And again, we didn't want to compromise any of our health and the experience, but we wanted to have the birth as much as possible reflect the love that had created Kai. So that became another criteria for us. And as Maury said, given those criteria, we decided to pursue the NICE midwife program at a hospital. The prenatal experience was a very unexpected and surprising one for me. I had expected a lot of change physically, being pregnant, getting bigger and all of that. But I hadn't expected all the psychological things that there were for me to work through. And I think this is maybe particularly true of the first baby. Maybe my experience was odd. I don't know. I tend to worry a lot. But pregnancy was so psychological for me, the issues that I was working through, and I'd like to share some of those with you.
I'd like to say that Christine, feeling this was odd, kept checking out with other women who just had their babies, and almost invariably they said, that's exactly how I felt, but I didn't expect it either. Nobody told me I would feel this way.
So. And we never talked about it, you know? So, okay, one of the first issues for me was feeling a loss of control over my body, especially. there was a part of me that just loved getting bigger and being pregnant and having this life growing in me. That was a marvelous experience. On the other hand, I felt this body that I had lived in for 30 years and lived with and had dressed and dieted and jogged and gotten into shape and felt that I had some control over it. This body was just, it's like it had a mind of its own. And it was just doing all these marvelous, miraculous things, but it was all beyond my control. And this loss of control was marvelous at many times, but also fearsome to me and kind of overwhelming to me, which I hadn't expected. So that was one thing I had to work through. Another big psychological issue for me, I think, stems from my mother's experience in childbirth. The thing that I remember, she never hardly ever talked about childbirth to me, but the thing I remember the most is the loneliness that she has articulated to me. My father took her to the hospital. He had to leave at the front door. They didn't allow him in the front door of the hospital. She labored all through the night with a nurse that hardly spoke English, and the woman in the next bed spoke Italian. This was in New York City. So that's maybe why this was an odd experience. But my mother couldn't talk to anybody. There was nobody there to support her. She had been cut off from her family, from the people she loved. And I was afraid of being abandoned in this experience. That was another big fear, which is irrational because I knew Maury was going to be there with me. But at a rational level, I knew that. But irrationally, I was working through that fear of being abandoned. Another fear that I had was that childbirth was not continuous with the rest of my life, that I'd become a different person in labor and birthing. And for that reason, I hesitated sometimes about having Maury be there, and because I didn't know who I'd become in this whole thing. And that was scary to me. And I think that if I had ever witnessed a birth, I would have known that who I would be in labor and birthing would be continuous. I was myself in that. But I didn't know that. And so that was another fear. And finally, the greatest issue for me that I had to work through or work with was the fear of dying. And I knew in my rational mind that all of Hennepin County Medical Center was there if anything happened, and that like the mortality rate of women in childbirth in this country is very low. I knew that my chances of dying were minuscule, but yet that was the greatest fear that I faced. And I didn't feel ready to die. I felt young. Life was ahead of me. I wanted to be alive after this, to raise this baby and continue to live with Maury, all of that. But I felt that that parts of me felt I was going to die. And that was a very profound experience for me. I was angry about that. I went sort of through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of death and dying during my pregnancy. And then finally, toward the end, was very resolved about it and facing it with confidence, and whatever happened, I felt ready for it. But that was the most unexpected part of the pregnancy for me, that here I was producing life, and life was growing in me, and I was a vehicle for that life. And here I was struggling with death. And the thing that helped me the most with those is talking to Maury. Sometimes, like when these first surfaced, I was embarrassed about them. I was confused about the fears. And I was embarrassed to talk to Maury about it. I felt it was silly or uncalled for, because every woman, you know, a lot of women are giving birth. I'm not the first, and generations have done this. And why can't I do it just calmly and confidently? But these fears were there and kept plaguing me. And the thing that helped the most was just talking a lot. And sure, there were times when Maury got real sick of hearing about some of these things, but it helped me to talk and talk and talk and talk them through.
It was a difficult and confusing time for me, because the hardest time really in the whole pregnancy and delivery process, because I didn't understand this. And I thought it was irrational too. I just thought, this is really Christine. Women are not dying in childbirth these days, and that's not something to worry about. And I would try to calm her down. Judge said, no, won't happen. Don't worry about it. That was my first approach. That just continued not to work. And I recognized that I was not with Christine in that part of the pregnancy. I just wasn't understanding what she was feeling. She'd say, "I'm worried about being abandoned. I said, I'm going to be there. Don't worry." And she'd say, "Will you promise me that you'll never step aside from me?" And I said, "Right, I promise." She said the next day, "Now, you promise me you won't step aside and go out the door. I don't want you going away. I'm just afraid." And it took me a long time to get by all the rational responses and stop saying that, yes, it was crazy for her to be fearing these things. Finally, I started to acknowledge that they were fears, they were legitimate fears, and that I'd be there. And I finally asked her, what do you want from me? And she said, "Just tell me you'll be there." And so that's why I said over and over again. And I gradually, as I started to read and think about, listen, I suppose, to Christine, and to gradually understand what it was like for her. It was completely different for me. I kept thinking about this baby. I was thinking about what's it going to be to have a little baby, and how am I going to play with this baby and change the diapers. Christine never gave any thought to the baby. It was the birth, of whether she'd survive the birth and get through that. And gradually, as we had childbirth classes and talked to other women, I gradually understood that's the way it is for women. They, especially having the first baby, that's a terrific barrier. You don't know that your body can produce this way, can do it. And it was important for me to accept that and understand it and start supporting Christine instead of feeling that it was a little bit silly that she felt that way. And having done that, I began to feel that I was sharing the pregnancy a little more. And it was important for us all along in our thinking that we would feel that we shared the child care of Kai. And we wanted to start that during the pregnancy. So that however it was possible, I was part of getting Christine into this condition, and I was going to take my share of the responsibility and involvement if I could. It was important to be in on those discussions and to find out what she needed from me when she was having these fears, and just listen and talk about it. And I'm very glad we did that. We found that the midwives in our program were also extremely sensitive to the way women feel. That was their whole philosophy of their work, was to understand the psychological needs of women. And whenever we would ask a technical medical question, they would probably answer it, but what they would hear is the psychological anxiety that was behind the question, and they would respond to that invariably. And at however much length we needed, whenever we went for a prenatal checkup, we spent about 5 minutes of the time having the physical check, and probably half an hour to 45 minutes talking with the midwives. And we both went to all those checkups. That was another way I could feel that I was sharing in this pregnancy. And I had a lot to learn. I hadn't done any thinking at all about this, about the process that Christine's body was going through and the psychological process. So we had the talks with them and long talks together. And gradually, it seems, we worked through those fears so that when the time came, it wasn't such a frightening thing for Christine. Okay. We decided to sign up for a childbirth class that was offered by the hospital program, the midwife program. And the best thing about that class was not the education, the technical education, but getting together with a bunch of other people who were also expecting babies and sharing your anxieties and sharing your excitement. It was a good support group. And these were people that we never would have run into under other conditions, you know, an odd mix of people. But we all had this one thing in common. We were intensely interested in it. And it was great fun, really. We looked forward to that all week. We did learn some things that were important for us to understand and to anticipate the stages of labor, they divided up into the early first stage of labor, transition stage, which is usually the most painful, when the cervix is dilating to its full size, and then the what they call the second stage of labor, when you're pushing the baby out. And it was fairly simple information, but no, we hadn't heard it before, so we needed to hear it and hear what this was likely to feel like, how long it was likely to take, and of course there's a broad spectrum of possibilities. And just anticipating that we might fit anywhere in that spectrum was also important. And they kept encouraging us not to assume that the birth would be just like this, just fit some pattern, but that their possibilities were quite broad. We learned their breathing techniques, and we had heard a few things about breathing techniques that you learned in classes, and they sounded all very complicated, and you went through six stages, and you had somebody with a stopwatch timing them. That's not the way this program handled it.